You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show. We are here today with Lance Robertson, who is the former Assistant Secretary of Health and Human Services and Aging.
Thank you. Lance, we're breaking down the different goals and focuses to the RAISE Family Caregiving Act, but we have a couple of questions before that are still keeping us kind of in the bird's eye, the big picture, right? And so research shows that replacing family caregivers with paid services would cost, and this is where I'm going to get my numbers, more accurate, right? Would cost an estimated $470 billion each year. So that means that currently our family caregivers are providing that without having that money be spent, right? And it also means that if we're shouldering that bill, what needs to be done to raise awareness about this incredible burden so taxpayers see the need to support caregivers? Because I think a lot of the problem is this only starts to become a reality for you if you have an adult child with a disability. Well, even if you have a child with a disability, but it also doesn't really become aware, something that you're aware of until your parents are aging and you start having to make some tough decisions. And we can't wait for people, for taxpayers to feel it, on their own personal level to understand how important it is. So what do you think we need to do to raise that awareness?
Well, I think you touched on it, Kristen. Obviously, the way that this issue becomes serious to those in the highest levels of leadership is when it becomes personal. Mm-hmm. And, we can throw data and white papers at them all day long, but until it becomes personal, it's just hard to resonate with them, the potential impact, because, again, I think about all the work that I've done with members of Congress. I mean, the number of issues that they deal with on a daily basis can be unfathomable. And, mm-hmm. They can't fix everything. And this is an issue that is an enormous one. As you said, $470 billion in economic value that this informal caregiver network continues to provide, that if these individuals had to be cared for, again, in a more acute, formalized setting, would just bankrupt America.
Exactly.
But that's not going to happen. And leaders know that. Mm-hmm. So what they try to do is soft play it a bit. And where can they find the right balance with family responsibilities, but then also where can we contribute as taxpayers? I think the most encouraging conversation, of course, involves some sort of framework where we can actually compensate or pay family caregivers for some of the work that's offered. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone believes that it should be a full compensation, because that's just, number one, probably not economically sustainable. And that can be a little tricky for somebody who provides the informal support that, say, already works, to quit their current job to become a paid caregiver, because maybe not everybody wants to do that. But some level of compensation or cost offset could be helpful. Yes. I also think through the tax code, there's a lot of opportunity to help make sure that family caregivers have direct costs acknowledged by the federal government when it comes to taxation. And there are a variety of other options that are out there, some of which are in the report, if you read mm-hmm. the report.
I have.
That really offers ways, again, in which I think our country could move towards being more supportive. It's not going to be an overnight change, but I think we're making the right steps. We just need to accelerate that a bit, in my opinion.
Okay. Thank you.
And shifting gears a little bit, the Kaiser, if I'm saying that correctly, Family Foundation noted that there's 820,000 people that are on waiting list for home and community-based service waivers. And I know that you mentioned earlier that that's really where we want these individuals to be, within their homes and communities. And I'm sure that this number has only greatly increased during the pandemic. What recommendations do you have to combat the paid caregiver crisis?
Yeah, so the figure you're quoting, and Kaiser's a wonderful resource. For those that really want to dig deep into health policy, I would recommend Kaiser Family Foundation. The reality is the Medicaid waivers that report's referencing, of course, are controlled by states. The higher percentage of the match when it comes to cost does come from the federal government, CMS, but states make those decisions, and waiting lists are often created for a variety of reasons, most commonly of which is budget. At the end of the day, states don't have open checkbooks where they can just write and cover whatever costs exist. So states have to make tough choices. And I did do that when I was an administrator in the state of Oklahoma. You have to sort of determine which cohort you plan to serve, and then what those services are going to look like, and what does a provider network look like, and there's just a lot of different variables there. So I don't know if the answer of paying family caregivers would actually impact the wait list directly, but I think that we all know intuitively if there's a way that we can help compensate or cover some of that financial burden that family caregivers are experiencing, I think undoubtedly we would see lower numbers on wait lists, and I think we would also see greater independence for those that are being cared for. And honestly, I think health indicators would increase. I think that, you know, families would do better, and then the person that they're caring for would do better if there was some sort of cost burden offset.
Can I push back a little bit, or I guess ask you to follow up on why do you think that would increase independence, though?
Well, because I think that for a lot of families, and I know we're going to get in a little bit into questions around just people being aware of what's out there, right?
Yeah, well, that's actually my next question, so we could lead right into it.
Okay, sure.
So go ahead. I think what I'm still not quite seeing the connection that, I mean, I feel it because I live it, but I'm not sure I understand how the RAISE report has really helped point out what can be done to raise the awareness for people themselves who don't even understand they're in this role. Right.
Well, so, right. No, I'm actually, I'll counteract your point there, because I actually think the RAISE report does a fabulous job of pointing out how we can better educate Americans on what options are out there. And I'll give you, I think one of the most promising examples involves partnerships. How do we make sure that certain critical influencers in society better understand where to direct family caregivers? A great example is the faith-based community. There are so many families who experience a caregiving situation, and the first person they go to often is their church leader. And research shows this, the majority of church leaders aren't sure where to direct that family person.
Of course.
Where are the local resources? What do they need to focus on? Okay. So one of the recommendations is to focus on those types of partnerships where we can put in place a wide variety of champions who will help that family caregiver navigate the system.
Okay. That makes sense. And then can you give one more example? Because I think I can see that, right? So I'm recognizing that I'm now taking care of my sick elderly parents, and I'm now, you know, have this extra burden of being a family caregiver while I'm still having my own children. I'm a full-time teacher, you know, blah, 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 blah. Going to my priest or going to, you know, a faith-based organization to lean on for support, if he or she, you know, could then direct me to resources, that's super helpful. But what if I'm not religious? Or what if that's not where I chose to go? Who else can sort of support me in that fashion?
And addressed in the council report, and I think the biggest area for all of us would be the working environment, employers. Mm-hmm. Because they're going to also be the ones that have to deal with this directly. And traditionally, many of them are used to childcare-related issues.
True.
But very few of them are aware of elder care-related issues. Right. So I think the workplace is ripe for some modernization around how can we better support some of our stellar employees who are having to also balance at-home caregiving responsibilities. You know, could we look at alternative work schedules? Could we do some, you know, work from home sort of opportunities, and how do we wrap around that caregiver, knowing that oftentimes these are temporary situations. So don't lose a good employee over a family caregiving situation.
Exactly.
Walk alongside them and help them find a good alternative.
Sure, that makes sense.
I was just going to add, I think the pandemic really showed that a lot of that is possible if anything was good to come out of it. You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show. We'll be right back after this short break.